Our special guests this morning are organist Cameron Carpenter and conductor Marcelo Leninger, here to perform with the Hawaii Symphony Orchestra opening night of a brand new season. Saturday, the 22nd at 7:30, and then Sunday, a matinee performance at 4 p.m. On the program, the Concerto for Organ, Strings, and Timpani by Francis Poulenc, and the Symphony No. 3, the Organ Symphony by Camille Saint-Saëns. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning.
Cameron, it looks like you're the whole show.
I don't know about that, but I have a great chance to make a contribution to the proceedings of this group, and first chance to visit Hawaii, so I'm glad to be here.
Cameron, I would think when you started, your appearance was mentioned as often as you're playing. You had the look of a pop star.
Right, and how inappropriate that is for classical music.
So what happened to the hair? You know,
well,
sometimes that's what people come to see. It's showbiz, you know.
No problem, and there's no shortage of showbiz in my presentation. But a little while after I built my international touring organ with which we travel the world, my father, who was my great technological, in a way, somewhat of my inspiration, died, and after his death, I sort of had somewhat of an artistic reevaluation and a personal one, and I decided to change my look from that, and realized that putting 45 minutes a day into my hair was 45 minutes I couldn't put into Bach.
You know, musically, you incited some controversy early in your career. Still do, I suppose, for breaking with convention. As an organist, you do have a different approach to the classics.
Well, I have a different approach to many things. I'm a secular person, so I'm attempting to provide a voice of skepticism, sarcasm, humor, cynicism, romanticism, in a relatively academic and in some ways highly sacred field. My view of the organ is scientific and historic rather than religious, and my playing is influenced not just by the classical organ of European tradition, but by the American melting pot organ of the late 19th and 20th century, including the theater organ. And my own approach, of course, is indelibly influenced by the technology of our own day, since I've pioneered the digital organ essentially as an artistic serious instrument in the world and taken it to many of the great stages. And believe, of course, that the digital organ is not an upstart instrument, but in fact is, as is observably the case, the mathematical descendant of the pipe organ, and so in a sense very traditional.
Now, pianists and organists sometimes complain that, unlike other musicians, they're unable to travel with their instruments, but I think you've solved this conundrum.
Well, the nature of the organ essentially requires physically, and as it has for the entire history of the instrument, that each instrument is unique. So even though no one would argue that all pianos have their own personality, anybody who's playing the piano competitively today is playing around the world on a piano built not only by the same company, that is to say Steinway & Sons, but usually the same model of piano, the Steinway Concert Model D. No such consistency could exist for the organ. But once you accept, as it has only become extremely recently possible to do, once you accept that the digital organ is an artistic descendant of the pipe organ and can be its equal, which again has only recently become even remotely considerable, then it becomes possible to conceive of an instrument which transcends the physical realm and has no pipes, and is configured in such a way that it is an assemblage of musical ideas which are divorced from their physical limitations and their physical fetters. And in my view, of course, this is, again, completely within the tradition of the organ, in that, of course, if you see the forest, if you can't see the forest for the trees and you understand an organ only as wood and metal things that have to last forever, then the digital organ is not an appealing proposition. But that would be to forget that, of course, the organ is to be a transcendent instrument, and what could be more transcendent than an instrument which absolutely routes around, which steps over, which is able to ignore the physical realities which have played the pipe organ for hundreds of years. So in a sense, again, it's a very traditional approach to the instrument, paradoxically.
We're speaking with organist Cameron Carpenter and conductor Marcelo Leninger here to open the new Hawaii Symphony Orchestra season, the Halekulani Masterwork Series, with a performance of the Organ Concerto by Poulenc and the Organ Symphony by Camille Saint-Saëns. And let's get to the music. Marcelo, the Symphony No. 3 by Saint-Saëns already calls for a large orchestra, but now you've got this organ, this behemoth, to contend with. What does this cause a problem for the conductor?
Well, not a problem. It's actually it's incredible to add that color to the symphony, and I think Saint-Saëns really wanted to include in his symphony a lot of elements of his own personal and artistic life. He was a great organist and a pianist and a composer, and so he decided as his last symphony to compose something that would include all those elements. You do have, when you have an organ playing with the orchestra, of course, you are dealing with things out of the ordinary daily things that you deal with an orchestra, specifically in terms of balance, but the color that that incredible instrument brings to the symphony is phenomenal, and I think it's really exciting to the audience. That's why it's such a beloved piece.
And that's a portion of the finale of the Symphony No. 3, the Organ Symphony by Camille Saint-Saëns. Cameron, is this a symphony or a concerto?
Oh, this is definitely a symphony in the good old symphony-type sense. The great thing about this work, and I was thinking about it when we were just hearing that incredible conducting by Charles Munch, is, and Saint-Saëns mastered this, is that, you know, that juxtaposition of resources where you have the entire orchestra and the organ is there's a reason why it's quite a phenomenal combination, as Marcelo says, and as an organist and as a super nerd and math fan, of course, I approach it from an analytical standpoint. But if you think about the way that those instruments are different, you can understand why when you put them together, it's so amazing. Every instrument in the orchestra, of course, generates its sound by utilizing energy which comes from the human body. It's a physical stamina. And although the orchestra we think of as an enormous sound, Of course, it can only really sustain, much like as a singer, you know, of a full output of dynamic volume for at most a few seconds. When you play the organ, of course, you're simply controlling informational input in a device which generates sound using using energy from an outside source, in this case electricity, or the electricity that's used to generate air. It doesn't matter whether the organ is digital or a pipe organ. It still applies. And so you're kind of getting both aspects of the extreme opposites of human musical creation coming together in a way which they usually don't. And the way that the fact that the organ doesn't rely upon human stamina to generate its impact means that its music can be played regardless of the consideration of time, which is what you hear in Saint-Saëns when he uses those very long notes, particularly at the end. He'll have the orchestra doing all of the work, which is heard in very fast moving material, but the organ, since of course it can output an enormous amount of energy, you know, regardless of human suffering, so to speak, is given the long, broad architectural gestures. It's really a majestic concept, and the way that he assembles the ideas is breathtaking. It's nothing really like it.
When Gounod called Saint-Saëns the French Beethoven, I think this was the work he had in mind.
It might well be. And Saint-Saëns himself, none too modestly, said something to the effect that it was the greatest that he'd ever done and he would never reach it again. And it's true. It's one of the landmark symphonies of all time. There are some things about those interior movements, too, where he uses the soft sounds of the organ and he waits forever to do it. And this the magic of this resource, you know, when he's not all over the place with the organ, he uses it quite sparingly, but then you have to wonder, why does he use it when he uses it? And what is the statement that he's making? It's fascinating to see how he tells you the story that he tells you and how he unveils his characters at the different times. It's so full of intrigue, you know. You can think of the great writers, you know, Victor Hugo and Balzac and all those guys. Saint-Saëns is so much in that tradition, and it's an incredible thing to experience.
We're speaking with organist Cameron Carpenter and conductor Marcelo Leninger. Here's a question: any new recordings coming out, fellas?
Marcelo?
Well, I have just recently recorded a live performance of Verdi Requiem, which will be released soon with the Grand Rapids Symphony, where I'm music director.
And this is a live performance?
Yes.
Terrific. And Cameron, I think you have a new recording of the... not forget there's another work on the program, the Poulenc Organ Concerto, and you
That's
have a new
right.
recording of that coming out.
Surely do. We've got another a live recording, too, coming out with the Concerthaus Berlin Orchestra. I work and live in Berlin, Germany. And the great conductor, Christoph Eschenbach, my first recording with him on Sony Classical. That'll be out in the spring. It also has the Poulenc Organ Concerto, which Marcelo and I are doing this weekend, as well as my own organ and orchestra version of a piano and orchestra work, the Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini by Rachmaninoff. Very new take on that piece, of course, created for my own international touring organ.
So there will be two performances of the opening concert of the Halikolani Masterworks Symphony series featuring the Hawaii Symphony Orchestra Saturday, the 22nd at 7:30, and Sunday at 4 p.m. at the Blaisdell Concert Hall. And let's not forget there will be a special benefit performance for the Hawaii Symphony as well.
That's right. After our concert on Sunday, where the Halukalani Masterworks is hosting the annual Symphony Gala, of course, at the great Halukalani Ballroom at their hotel here in town. And both the Halukalani and, of course, the Hawaii Symphony Orchestra have been so generous to Marcelo and to myself, and we want to be sure to spread the word about the Hawaii Symphony Orchestra and the important role that it plays culturally here, not just in Hawaii life, but as an important American orchestra. It deserves our support, and I'm totally glad and in fact, honored that I get to be part of that gala. And in a small way, I hope to advocate for that group and their great work.
Cameron, Marcelo, it's been a pleasure speaking with you
Likewise.
This morning.
Thank you.
Thanks for
Thank
coming
you.
In.
Thank you.